Blog Talk Radio.
Locker room. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we have a fabulous guest tonight in the locker room with us. This is somebody that I hold a special place in my heart for, a young man that I worked with, almost, safe to say, about 6 years ago when he was at the University of Miami of Ohio. And stellar wide receiver, great career in Cincinnati, Ohio in high school. And he's somebody that just has a great testimony and also has done a lot of good things in the community and recently has had a chance to be a member of the Chinese Olympic team with their speed skating team as a strength and conditioning coach. So just a great young man. Somebody that I know can give some great advice to our young Before You Go Pro athletes. I think we already have him on the line, so let me see if we can patch Mr. Dustin Woods in.
Yes, sir. Yep, I'm right here,
Dustin,
Coach.
Dustin, do we have you?
Oh, yeah. It's good to hear your voice again.
Definitely, man. It's been a long time, and I miss you. How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going great. I actually just touched back down from China about, 2.5 weeks ago, I think. So I'm just getting refreshed and getting used to the U.S. life again.
Wow. So how long has it been, man, that you've been overseas?
My initial leaving point departure was back in 2011 in July. So it's almost been about 3 years. We came back, me and my wife. Came back a couple times here and there, but for the most part, we were there about 2 months and 2 years and 9 months.
Wow. So this is something that most people never even have a chance to do, you know, go to China and be in Russia. And as a young man, have already accomplished that. I want to kind of take things backwards, kind of rewind. A lot of the kids that I work with, and our company works with, Dustin, are young football players.
Uh-huh.
And they have dreams of you know, accomplishing things like yourself and maybe even one day playing professional football. So I want to kind of take things back and let you tell your story with football and how it kind of led into you becoming a part of the Chinese Olympic team.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So you grew up in Ohio, and tell us a little bit about that. Did you play Little League football when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, a lot of Little League football here, but I actually grew up playing soccer. I'm the youngest of five. My father was very involved. He coached almost all of the kids, but I grew up playing soccer up until the eighth grade until I even got into high school. But I played multiple sports. I played soccer. Baseball was probably my main sport, and also basketball. and I didn't even start playing football until I was a freshman in high school.
Wow, so you were a multi-sport kid, and what turned you on to football once you got to high school? Was it a friend or a coach that pulled you aside?
Well, it was actually my oldest brother. He's about 7 years older than me. He played football in high school. He also just started high school, and he enjoyed it. He loved it. Everybody always just said I had the assets, I had the speed, you know, the coordination to play. And I always really wanted to play, but I never really had the opportunity. So once I got to high school, my parents were comfortable with me playing. That was kind of the deal. I got out there my freshman year, but then I didn't even play my sophomore year. So because I was big on basketball and baseball, came back my junior year, and that's when I started to excel there at Purcell Marion High School. So my brother kind of influenced me to do it, and he's kind of been my coach ever since then.
And I don't know if we lost Dustin. Looks like we're experienced. Oh, no. Can you hear me, Dustin?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay.
So,
sorry about that.
We left off with it was basically your brother kind of nudging you towards it.
Yeah, my brother, he was big football in high school. He was actually a defensive lineman, though. I've ended up being a receiver. And like I was saying, neither of us played football until we were in high school. So everybody just said I had the coordination and the speed, and they thought I would be good at it. So I went out my freshman year. Didn't really excel my freshman year, so I didn't even play my sophomore year. I ended up playing varsity basketball, so I kind of concentrated on that my sophomore year. And then after that, I went back to football my junior year, and that's when I started to excel there.
Wow. And then coming up in Cincinnati of Ohio, what is your feeling as far as Ohio football talent? Do you think that Ohio football talent ranks with the rest of the country, or do you think it's a little bit more ahead or behind?
I believe Ohio is definitely at least – when I was in school, it was at least top three. They always talked about Texas, Ohio, Florida. Now I think California out your way is they're starting to step into the spotlight a little bit as well. But I think Ohio is definitely known for the big country boys, the offensive linemen, a little bit of speed here and there. But I think I can say now safely they're probably still in the top five.
And you deciding to go to Purcell Marion High School, whose decision was that? Was that the local high school in the area, or was mom or your brother saying go there?
Yeah, Purcell Marion was actually a private school, so that was kind of a deal. My two oldest brothers went there, and I followed suit and just kind of followed them and went to Purcell with them.
Gotcha. So once you arrived, I know that you were a multi-sport kid. And a lot of our kids, Dustin, they play a bunch of different sports as well, track and baseball. When you arrived at high school, did you know that you wanted to play a sport in college, or were you just kind of winging it and just wanting to see how things panned out in high school?
Oh, man. When I was going to high school, I never even thought I'd be playing college football. Not a shadow of a doubt. I had no clue. I was actually a big baseball player. That was probably my main sport. And then basketball creeped in there because everybody thinks they're going to be Michael Jordan. I had the opportunity to play varsity basketball as a freshman, and we did really well. And that pulled me away from playing football. So as far as playing college sports, I was kind of focused more on playing baseball, kind of getting drafted out of high school. But I had no idea that I was going to be playing any college football.
And for those just joining on with us, we have one of my special kids as far as kids that I work with, Mr. Dustin Woods. He's somebody that has done things the right way, played at Miami of Ohio, and has gone on to become a strength and conditioning coach for the Chinese skating team. So just amazing things from this young man, and we really appreciate having you on tonight, Dustin. I know the kids are going to get a lot out of this show. So moving into high school, you were kind of feeling things out with football, and concentrate more on other sports. When did you kind of realize that, hey, I better pay attention to this football thing? I may have an opportunity.
Right, yeah, I'm definitely glad you asked that question because this is where my story kind of began. I don't even count my freshman year of football as actually playing football. Definitely a learning experience, but it kind of turned me away. But when I got back into it, I went to a camp down at the University of Kentucky. It was a free camp. One of the neighborhoods was kind of throwing on. So I went down there. We were going through drills. At the end, we started running some 40s. I ran my 40, and I think I clocked out a 4.4 or something like that, something low. And then they had put me up against one of their actual players who was, I think, one of the fastest on their team. And I went out and I beat him, and I don't even know the time I ran there, but I beat one of their fastest players on the team. And somebody came up, got my name and my number, and literally the next week I had a scholarship offer in the mail. And I didn't even know what it was. I had to ask my dad, call my dad, hey, what, you know, is this saying that they're offering me a scholarship? But that's where my story began. And from there, we kind of just looked at each other, looks like you're going to be playing some football, you know, in college. So that's kind of where I started focusing in.
Wow. So talk to us about, you know, once you started focusing on football, do you think your success was more because of sheer talent, or do you think it was also work ethic or a combination of the two?
I think it was definitely a combination of the two. I was basically going off of raw talent when I was out there playing, just kind of running by people. I could catch everything. I think I attribute that to a lot of baseball. I was an outfielder running on my toes and just learning how to play and track the balls right. I was able to catch balls and just run by people. But a lot of it was raw skill, but I also had a lot of work ethic too. My brother was a trainer at that time, and he had me working hard, whether it was towards baseball or whatever it might be. But I learned a lot of that from my parents, just proper work ethic, doing things right, having the right morals. And my parents always say, if you're going to do something, you got to do it the right way, you know. So a lot of my work ethic went into it as well. So raw talent, work ethic, when you put that together, it's a powerful piece.
Great stuff, man, and we appreciate it. And the kids definitely need to hear it. So, you know, when you really started focusing on football and you realize that you're going to college for it, what steered you towards going to the University of Miami in Ohio?
Okay, yeah, that was also a crazy story. Like I said, I was very involved in a lot of other sports, and I was being recruited by multiple colleges, SEC, one ACC team, and most of the MAC. But I waited so long to make my decision because I was a baseball player. My team had won state. I had a lot of accolades there, too. And I really loved baseball, and I was kind of waiting for the draft for baseball. And I kind of waited too long to sign my letter of intent to any school. So I ended up waiting so long that all the scholarships had kind of passed. And one school offered to send me to junior college, and I really wasn't feeling that. And Miami of Ohio gave me a call, and they were the first people to offer a gray shirt option. And I don't know if very many people are familiar with a gray shirt, but that's when you actually sign with the team and you come in after the fall. So you come in the winter, kind of like in the January time, and your first time with the team will be in spring ball. So they said, hey, you can come up here, you can sign, and you'll come in January full scholarship. And at that time, Miami of Ohio was ranked 12th in the nation. They had Big Ben Roethlisberger going, a bunch of other guys, and they just were ranked 12th in the nation. So, hey, good deal, 40 minutes away from home. Okay, let's do it. You know, they kind of saved me at that time, and that's how I ended up at Miami, just kind of a work of God, and God had his hand in that. I think there was really a purpose for me to be there in Miami.
So it was close to home. Did you get a lot of people coming up for the games, a lot of hometown support?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My parents didn't miss one game, I don't think. I mean, I know they didn't. Even if we had an away game, my parents were at every game. I was able to have friends come up to games whenever they could. So it was really nice being at home, 40 minutes away, and I think that's one reason that my college career was, you know, such a good time and so just positive for me, because I was able to spend that time with my family and my friends as well.
Dustin, talk to us a little bit about how you've always been able to stay so level-headed. You know, it seems like you've always been grounded and had your head on straight mentally, morally, you know, and with your academics. You majored in kinesiology. So who do you attribute that to? Who's helped you be so level-headed?
My best answer for that is Jesus Christ. I mean, I really give a lot of credit to my faith. That's kind of been my stance morally, all my values. I just had great parents and, you know, great family members, brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest of five, so I had a lot of great examples in my life, and I'm really blessed to have, number one, a relationship with Jesus that just kept me on track and kept my head straight. And just confidence, you know, being the youngest sibling, I had a lot of confidence and a lot of confident brothers and sisters that just made me feel, you know, I didn't have any identity issues. And I think that's where, you know, I think that's a major thing is identity issues in young people today. They're trying to find their way, trying to find who they are at the wrong times or, you know, too early, too late, and letting other people influence, you know, their character. So, I mean, just my faith, you know, and my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, they really kept my head on straight. They really kept me honest, you know, and just accountability, you know. So that's the one answer I would give for that.
When you got up to Miami of Ohio, did you feel like you belonged? Did you feel like you were ready to take on school at that level in football?
Yeah, you know, I didn't always feel in place. I was the new guy because, like I said, I gray shirted, so I was the new guy. I was hopping in. Nobody else was coming in at that time but me. But the transition wasn't too bad. And for all the young people listening, you got to understand, Miami of Ohio it's a difficult school. But I wasn't the best, you know, academically in my high school. But I knew that I had to do well in my classes if I wasn't going to be doing well on my tests. So I always bear down knowing that I need to do well in my class, do everything that I can, whether that's sitting in the front row talking to the teachers. Everything I needed to do, I just needed to bear down and do what I could because I wasn't the smartest guy in the room always, but I would always try to outwork people and do the best that I can. And that was a challenge in itself, but it flowed easy because I prepared my mind for it. I prepared. I wasn't shocked about anything. And I just always had confidence, like, hey, I can do this. So that's really big.
No, those are great points, man, and we appreciate you sharing that with us. Talk to me a little bit about, because, you know, now for these young kids, these young athletes, things are a lot faster off the field as well. Do you feel like you were able to keep your social life in order once you got to college, or was that a lot faster than you anticipated?
It was a lot faster, but, you know, I just kind of kept things in check. I'll make sure, you know, you only become the person that you know, the company that you keep around you, that's who you're going to become. You don't have to go far to see who you're going to be when you're around the people, you know, that you're going to be around. So you got to keep a good company around you. So I just try to do a good job of that, get involved with the right groups. Socially, you really got to be prepared. Because there's a lot of freedom when you get to college. Mom and dad's not there to tell you what you're going to do, what time to go to bed. Football coaches can try to enforce it, but everybody's trying to get away with something. So it's really up to you to be an adult, to have your priorities in line, and to know what your goal is so that you know and always be able to be prepared for that emergency. Something's going to be unexpected. Don't wait till the last minute to do your homework. Don't wait till the last minute to do that final project. Be prepared for something that's going to be unexpected. So you really got to socially bear down, be focused, and just make the right decision at the right time. And I always tell people when I talk to them before they go to school, work hard for these 4 years and party for the rest of your life. You know, work hard at this time that you need to be there. And then for the rest of your life, you'll have something going for you.
We love it, man, and we really appreciate it. And there may be, we actually have a call-in line, and the call-in line is 310-807-5195. But there may be a few of you trying to call in right now, and I'm getting an icon on my screen that's saying we have some technical difficulties as far as people trying to call in on the guest line. So if you're trying to call in, you can't get in. That's what's going on. We have Dustin Woods, Olympic speed, strength, and conditioning coach for Chinese skating team. And we definitely will get to that story because I know that's an interesting story as well. So you were at Miami of Ohio, man, and you actually got elected as a team captain in 2009. Mm. What do you think made your team want to pick you as a team captain?
Oh, man, good question. I had a – this was interesting, too. Every year I had some type of injury. I had four surgeries in 4 years when I was at Miami. Every spring ball I sat out, and I had to earn my position back. And that year that they voted me captain, we had a new coach, and I sat out that spring, so he hadn't even seen me do anything before they voted me captain. And when he announced it, he kind of made a comment, you know, I don't know what this guy has done. You know, I hadn't even seen him play. He hasn't done anything in my eyes yet, but you guys voted him captain. You know, whether that rubbed me the wrong way or not, I was really happy and really honored that they chose me to be captain. And I think that had to do a lot with the way I live my life outside of football. You know, you can earn a lot of respect as a football player on the field, but I think people will respect you more when they see the kind of person that you are and how respectful you are and the type of leader you are off of the field. Because we had our starting quarterback, he was a starter for 3 years, and he didn't even get voted captain. And I think that just says a lot about how you conduct yourself off the field as well as on the field. You earn a lot more respect when people see the way that you are off the field in a positive way, and being an influence instead of being easily influenced in negative ways.
And in your opinion, do you think the way guys live off the field affects their progress and their outcome on the field?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. A lot of people have ego problems, and when they have ego problems, they don't want to work hard. They think they got it all figured out, and when they come against adversity or when they come through a challenge, they don't know how to handle it because they haven't been living it, you know, off the field. And you know, life is life, and the time that you spend within those numbers and within those lines is a much shorter time than what you spend on the outside in the real world. So if you got your things straight, your priorities straight, and you're humble and you can live life right on the outside of the lines and on the inside of the lines, you're going to be all right, whether you're a great player or a good player or just getting by. If you're a bubble player, you know, I think that's really going to shoot you out, your character off the field.
And for those just joining us or those listening in, I actually had a chance to work with Dustin back when he was coming out of Miami of Ohio, getting a shot for the NFL draft and just somebody that could be in his corner and really support him on that journey and that dream. And shout out to Coach Cormier, because Coach Cormier was the one that turned me on to young Dustin Woods. But the craziest thing happened, and I'm so glad it did, man, because it really illustrates what a great kid you are, or man, sorry. The greatest thing happened, and you had a chance to become the strength and conditioning coach for the Chinese Olympic skating team. Please tell these young men how that all came about.
Man, well, I mean, first and foremost, I really got to thank, you know, the people in my life who were not only coaches but teachers. You know, my father was my coach growing up. My mother, although she wasn't an A teacher, but she was a great teacher. My aunt as well. My brothers were all coaches. And then I had some good coaches here and there. And then, like you said, Coach Wood, you really inspired my life. You came in at a time where I was really having some difficulties, and you didn't know me from anybody. You know, you got a word from Coach Cormier, like you said, and you came in, you just spoke some really influential stuff to my mind when I was going through a hard time, and that's why I really believe in what you're doing right now, and I really do appreciate what you're doing. I mean, you're doing something great, something that's definitely needed right now in these young men's life, and from that, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And with that being said, just all those people who were put in place, who taught me well, who was there for me, that really made me want to do the same in this world and become a coach. And coaches have a lot of influence on kids these days. Sometimes they're mentors, father figures, and they're teachers. And that's really what I wanted to do and get a hold of people while I could still relate, you know. So after, you know, my drive and my leap for the NFL was shot short, I was able to get on with a training facility, and right away I started coaching kids my age and training them to be going to the NFL Combine at a place called Ignition down here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's a performance training facility. And after a year being there and getting some good experience, we had a guy go over to China that worked there do a seminar, and he came back with some information about a team over there looking for a strength coach. So me and my wife was praying for some different opportunities, and that kind of just shot out at us, and we sent them a resume. They called in. We did some interviews, and literally 3 weeks later, I was in China working with the team and just doing some things there. And then 1 year turned into 2 years, turned into 3 years. So that's kind of how that happened, just the hand of God and just me taking opportunities here and there, remembering what I learned and just wanting to be a teacher, wanting to be a mentor, and help others.
Wow, man, that's an amazing story. And for those who may be trying to call in to speak to Coach Dustin Woods, sorry for the technical difficulties, but hopefully you guys are getting some great advice and some great tips, some aha moments out of what Dustin's talking about. So you must have really hit it off with the guy who you were training that went to China for him to come back and be thinking about you.
Yeah, well, he kind of just came back and kind of threw it up in the air. There was three other people who worked there, and none of them were really in a position to, you know, up and leave. I had just finished trying to go to the league. You know, me and your relationship was still just fresh. And me and my wife, we didn't have a house yet. We didn't have anything holding us down. And everything just kind of worked out to a way that we were, you know, we were chosen to go. And it was kind of written on the wall. It was just whether or not we wanted to take that leap of faith. So we took it, and it honestly ended up being one of the greatest decisions of my life.
And I'm sure the people back in Cincinnati, they were a little bit sad, but they understood that you had to make the trip, huh?
Oh, yeah. It definitely was a tearful departure. It was really hard. I'm really close to my family, really close to my friends, and I kind of felt like I was letting a few people down by, you know, up and leaving so far away, you know. But then again, when I turned around and I left China, it was a tearful departure that way, too. And, you know, you see this young black male in the airport around all these Chinese kids, and everybody's crying. They're all hugging me, and I'm hugging them, and we're all crying. Just an unbelievable scene, like, you know, kind of out of a movie. Like, where do you see that at? So it was really interesting, but it was difficult to leave. But like I said, a great decision, and I'm really happy that me and my wife took that venture.
So did you have to – you must have had an interpreter when you were coaching the team?
Yeah, actually, the head coach, her name is Leanne. She's one of the greatest coaches I ever worked with. She actually coached Team USA for 5 years, so she was my translator for the first year. And then I recruited some young men who were great English speakers and strength and conditioning majors at a local school there in Beijing, two of them, and I had them come intern with me, and we got a lot of work done there. So they were my translator for the second year, and then for the third year, I was all on my own, so I was speaking the language, well, kind of speaking the language. They met me halfway, and I kind of just ran the show on my own from there.
Well, that's a fabulous language to know, most definitely. And and obviously you got a great woman by your side to take that leap with
yeah.
you. That's something I know you guys will never forget. We actually have a caller who was able to get in, and do you mind taking a call, Dustin?
Yeah, for sure. It'd be my pleasure.
All right. So it, going by the number, it's one of our kids, Mario Guerrero. He's definitely a faithful listener and gets a lot out of the show. So let's see if we can get Mario in right here. And unfortunately, Mario, you're going to have to try again if that's you, buddy, because once again, we are experiencing difficulties with call-ins. So that's an amazing story, Dustin. As far as communicating with people back home, was it all emails or were you able to make phone calls?
Oh, man. I can go on forever with that. No phone calls. We usually relied on Skype. But for the first couple, you know, weeks, the internet in Beijing was horrible. We could barely even get on the internet or barely email. So that was a challenge in itself, you know, kind of scary at first. But we figured out different ways, and we made our way around the different cafes, found good Wi-Fi. But for the most part, it was all Skype. We didn't make any phone calls home, so just emails and Skype.
Wow. A little home sickness?
You know, that's one thing I was talking to my wife about. You know, I was always the kind of kid to get homesick, and that's why I think it was a blessing I was able to stay so close to home in college. But, you know, when I went over there, I think God really had his hand on me. I didn't really get homesick, especially having my wife there, because like, I still kind of felt at home with her, but I still missed home. But I didn't have that sick feeling. So I just, that was kind of another reason why I felt like, hey, I am supposed to be here. You know, there's a reason that I'm here, because I never felt like I wasn't supposed to be there, or I actually had to get out of there as fast as possible. So yeah, that was cool too.
In your opinion, Dustin, do you think football players today are a little too narrow-minded as far as opportunities outside of football? Do you think guys are solely thinking about the NFL or thinking about playing pro ball and not keeping their eyes open for other opportunities?
Yes, I definitely think so. I mean, I hear story after story and just see people here, kind of even in the Cincinnati area, kids that played, you know, whether it was small-time college ball or big-time college ball, still trying to live the dream, still got their cleats in their, you know, in their trunk, and, you know, playing this ball here and that ball here. They got families, and they're not really taking care of what they need to back at home because they're trying to live the dream. And they just simply didn't take advantage of what the school gave to them as far as a free education or an opportunity to network or whatever it might be in school. And I think they can be very narrow-minded. And you do have your others who are very cautious of, you know, what they need to be doing in school and are focused. And you have a lot of them who are a credit to the football, you know, football guys there. But I think for the most part, we do have a lot of kids who are very narrow-minded. Everybody thinks they're going to the league, and they don't know exactly what it takes. And that's why I think this before you go pro is so great, because you're preparing their minds, you know, them and their morals to know what's going to need to be done, whether they make it or whether they don't make it, and everything else in between.
Do you think that football gives you special opportunities to get a leg up or to network or get to know people in high places?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I was always taught to use that as an advantage. When you play college ball, people always, you know, they're so interested to talk to you, to know what's going on, to see a face in person that they might see on TV. And you have to use that to your advantage. You know, I think the NCAA, they take advantage of you as a player very often with making money. But, hey, you have to take advantage of what they have given you, too. So you really have to use your tools the best way that you can.
Great stuff, man. And it looks like we got young Mario an opportunity to get through the fire storm. Mario, you work hard, man.
All right, great.
I was seeing you. Hey, how you doing? You're on the line in the locker room with Olympic coach Dustin Woods. Did you have a question?
No, just listening up to what you're saying. Different stuff, how you're saying, make sure you use your opportunities that you have, that it's not all about football. It's mostly to see what's out there. Because football comes and goes. When it comes in the fall and then goes off, so you have to wait till next fall. So mostly you have to make your opportunities count for when you're not doing football.
Definitely. And Mario's a young high school player about to graduate out of Texas.
Okay.
Did you have any questions for Dustin, or was that it, Mario?
No, that's about it. It's mostly I'm just listening to the info that he's giving.
Oh no, and we appreciate you listening. So. Thanks for calling in, Mario, and we'll speak to you later.
Thank you, Mario.
So, yeah, as Mario was saying, that, you know, we really appreciate you coming in, Dustin, because you're giving us some great stuff. And last but not least, I've been wanting to ask you this because, once again, we got some competitive athletes that listen to the show. What's the difference between training the Olympic athlete overseas and the high competitive football athlete at the college level where you were at? Is their drive a little bit harder? Is it a little bit stronger over here? Or is it all the same thing when you boil it down?
Oh, that's a great question. Now, when I first went over there, I was really surprised at how great of athletes the speed skaters were. I didn't expect to have, you know, so much endurance, so much power, so much strength. So I was really impressed there. But you have to keep in mind, too, they're still professional athletes. And I had the chance to work with the Cincinnati Bengals when they were during their lockout, you know, so I kind of got some experience with how they work and how they train. And it was really similar, you know, some of them are lazy and some of them are not. But then when I came back here to the States, and now I'm working with Xavier University and doing some stuff with them, you know, I definitely see a difference between what you get with elite athletes and even when you get with, you know, college athletes, which who are still kind of elite athletes. But over there in China, they are very disciplined. They work hard. Their lifestyle is different. You know, they're actually taken out of school when they turn professional. Most of my skaters turned professional when they were about 9 years old, and they're taken out of school. So they have no education. So that is their life. Unless their parents make a lot of money, that's their life. That's the way that they're going to get jobs. If they don't succeed in that sport, they're not going to be able to find a good job within, you know, their department. So it's their life. They got to train hard. They're not forced to train there at all. I think a lot of people think that the Chinese are forced to, hey, if you want to up and leave, you can up and leave. But, you know, they were taken out of school. They have no education, very short, they're very small education. That's their life. So they train hard. They train with intensity. They train, I mean, they do two-a-days every day for 6 days a week with maybe one day off. So it's totally, you know, it's a big jump from college level to the elite level. And you have to think, too, very interesting point, is these are amateur athletes. They don't really get paid that well. They're doing it from their heart. They're doing it because they love the sport. In a lot of cases, that's how they're going to feed their family.
Wow. So last but not least, as far as the coaching future for Dustin Woods, I know you're coaching at Xavier now, but do you see more coaching in your future? Do you see going back to football, going back to China? What you thinking?
Right now I'm up in the air. I'm really fresh. The work I'm doing at Xavier is just temporary, just helping them out a little bit. So right now I'm looking at some international gigs. I got approached quite a bit at the Olympics by different countries like Japan and another U.S. coach. And back in China, they all want me to do some work with them. So I'm looking into keeping some international, you know, opportunities and consulting doors open. But I'm very open. I'm kind of looking for opportunities here and there that are best for me and my wife. She's 6 months pregnant, so we got a lot of things going on now. And
yes,
we're trying
congratulations,
to figure this out.
Man.
But I appreciate it. Trying to get
a
on your level,
world.
Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine.
You don't need to be on my level yet, man. Enjoy that one little one, and that's going to give you plenty of work, man. So we definitely appreciate you coming on tonight, and you're doing a great job, Dustin. I'm so proud of you, and keep us up to date with what you got going on, and you always have a green light to come on the show and promote whatever you got going on, man. So we love you. You have a great evening, okay?
Sounds good to me, and I thank you again for having me on. It's my pleasure.
All right, have a good one.
All right.
So there you have it. We had Dustin Woods, Olympic coach. He was just in Russia, Sochi, for 2014. He's the strength and conditioning coach for Chinese Olympic speed skating team. Young man that was a Division I-A football player playing in the MAC for the University of Miami of Ohio, and a fabulous wide receiver, too. A lot of NFL teams missed out by not picking him up, but it looks like things are going great for Dustin. He's definitely a BYGP win. He's a BYGP testimonial of what can happen if you play your cards right. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight. We got another great show coming on Tuesday. We're going to be talking over some anger management stuff because sometimes things happen. They make us mad, but we have to manage that anger. So join us on Tuesday night. Check out our website, www.beforeyougopro.com, for much more information on this mission to train young football players mentally, morally, and academically. So we love you guys, and we will definitely see you at the top.